after a night of unrelenting drama at San Siro, we have our first finalist in this season's UEFA Champions League. Inter will head to Munich after a remarkable second leg against Barcelona, which went all the way to extra time. A truly classic semi-final, which will be talked about for years to come. We'll attempt to dissect a pulsating 120 minutes in Milan. Plus, we'll look ahead to the second leg of Wednesday's semi-final between Paris Saint-Germain and Arsenal, who will face the Nerazzurri in the showpiece at the end of this month. Do not go anywhere. Welcome along, I'm Chris Parrott, and what a sensational semi-final second leg we have been treated to. It finished Inter 4, Barcelona 3, Inter going through 7-6 on aggregates. And as I speak, they are celebrating with 70-odd thousand of their fans. Nobody has left the San Siro, and it's a quarter to midnight local time in Italy. The Italian sides, minutes away from heading out in normal time after an astonishing Barcelona comeback, only to stage a fight back themselves to head through 13 goals over the tie, equaling the most ever in a Champions League semi-final. That is how good it was. Joining me to talk it all through is the European football expert Daniele Fisichella, as well as commentator Mark Scott. Daniele, simply breathless, football at its finest. Very quickly, can you put into words what you watched in the second leg?
So good, we hoped it never ended. And we saw Inter winning the game, then losing it, then winning it again against an extraordinary Barcelona who came back from 2-0 to dominate completely the second half. But Inter showed resilience, character and courage and a perfect tactical plan to send them into the second Champions League final in 2 years. What a remarkable achievement for Simone Inzaghi and his group.
Mark, I don't know how much voice you have left after commentating on this. Can't have covered many better games than that.
I was actually just thinking about that, Chris, and I had the fortune of doing the Barcelona-Chelsea Champions League game. I think it was 04-05 from memory over the two legs, which was an epic. I didn't think that that would be topped. It just has.
Sensational stuff. Well, let's hear how it unfolded. Mark and Daniele, lucky enough to commentate and watch a thrilling night at San Siro.
With a lovely ball through Dumfries for Martinez. Inter in front. It's their captain who's done it again.
He delivers once again on the big occasion. Lautaro Martinez, 9 goals in 13 Champions League matches.
And he's going to give a penalty. Inter have a spot kick. What a big moment in the game. And Çalhanoğlu scores. Brilliant penalty. Low arrowed into the bottom left corner. And Inter now can start to see the road to Munich.
Will we see a semi-final comeback for the ages from Hansi Flick and Barcelona?
Martin again puts it into a good area, and at the far post it's in. Barcelona back in the game. Just what the doctor ordered for them.
Lovely right foot finish, top corner, unstoppable for Jan Sommer.
Petri sends it wide, Martin, and what a save, Sommer. That is absolutely incredible. I have never seen a save like that.
A miracle at San Siro.
Good ball, 2-2. Oh my word, Barcelona have roared back into this. Dani Olmo arriving unmarked at the far stick. And now Rafinha in the area. Sommer behind it to make the block. Rafinha again. Barcelona may well have done it. Rafinha has turned the game on its head.
Extraordinary comeback from Barcelona.
Dumfries has won the ball and has got it in low. It's in. They've done it. 3. Absolutely incredible. Francesco Acerbi. Inter back from the brink. And it's another epic 3-3 between these two clubs.
And we're going to extra time in one of the most extraordinary games, one of the most extraordinary ties of the history of the Champions League.
There's a bender in. Fratesi. Fabulous. This has been one serious advert for Champions League football. You cannot take your eyes off it. You cannot call which way it's going to go. And Fratesi with the latest twist in this incredible chapter. It's Inter 4, Barcelona 3, and it's 7-6.
It is why we love this competition. It delivers year on year, especially at the back end of the knockout stage. But even by Champions League standards, this was something very, very special. Very quickly to go through the goals you heard there. 3-3, remember, from the first leg. That was pretty good. We thought, no way can we get a repeat of that drama. Well, Lautaro Martinez made it 1-0 on the night to Inter after 21 minutes. Hakan Çalhanoğlu made it 2-0 on half-time from the penalty spot. Inter in control, we thought, heading to Munich. Then came a Barcelona comeback. Eric Garcia on 54 minutes made it 2-1. Dani Olmo, 6 minutes later, made it 2-2, 5-5 on aggregate. And then, as you heard from Mark, Rafinha scored with 3 minutes left. It looked like the winner for Barcelona. Francesco Acerbi, the centre-back, went up front, made it 3-3 in the 93rd minute to take the tie to extra time. And then Davide Fratesi, very, very cutely, fired home what proved to be the winner 9 minutes into the first period of extra time. Where to start? I don't know how much we've got. If we were on air for an hour, we could fill it with what happened on the night. Daniele, let's go perhaps right to the end, because even after that Fratesi goal to make it 4-3, Jan Zomer, who ended up winning the UEFA Player of the Match, made some huge saves as Barcelona pushed to try and make it 4-4 to take the game to penalties.
And deservedly so. He makes a fantastic save on Yamal right at the end with his outstretched arm. And then when the game was still 2-1, he makes a point-blank save on Eric Garcia to prevent a 2-2 that would have happened anyway.
Yep.
And that tells how much Inter had to defend and had to suffer and how relentless were Barcelona attack. This is a Barcelona side that goes out but playing their own way and never, even when they were winning 3-2, resorting to defend deep or parking the bus or having too many men behind the ball. When Acerbi scores the equalizer, it's almost a 4v4 situation, and it was the 95th minute.
Yeah.
It's the beauty of the game itself, is the way Barcelona interpret the game, and I think we could have had a game of such so many emotion only because Barcelona were involved with it. Of course, there will be lessons learned. On the Inter point of view, it is very rare for an Italian side to go 2-0 up and then surrender a lead. But ultimately, it shows how unconventional this Inter is and how unconventional is Inzaghi's football, because then they managed to find the extra resources also from the bench with Fratesi. Beautiful story to turn it around. Can a game of so many imperfections be beautiful? Well, the answer is yes. Only another 4-3 comes to my mind. Italy-Germany 4-3 in 1970. I think we probably match that. People who are old enough will remember. The youngest one will probably look it up. But I don't really see any other comparison.
It was from minute one, the way it ebbed and flowed. And I think it was something, Daniele, you said in commentary. There were so many games within the games. We had the Barcelona comeback, which, Mark, you would have expected that second half comeback from Barcelona to have flattened most teams, actually. So for Inter to find the resolve to go again, having won the game, having won the tie, really, that says an awful lot about the character of this Simone Inzaghi team, doesn't it?
I think what Daniele said, and it's the thing that stuck with me throughout the course of that game, was his comment about games within games.
Yeah.
Because it felt there were about eight matches in the course of that 120 minutes that we saw this evening. The first half was about moments. Neither side really got into their groove, but Inter were more clinical, and Barcelona fluff their lines. And at half time, you struggled to see a way back into it for them. But whatever they did, suddenly the players that had been on the fringes, that hadn't been doing too much, were involved. Dumfries, who was arguably the standout performer in the first half, suddenly had no impact whatsoever in the game, was basically anonymous. And Hansi Flick had got his tactics spot on. Inter just couldn't cope. They were chasing shadows. They didn't know what to do. They were panicked in possession. So while the first half was about Inter taking advantage of moments, you thought, well, Barcelona are going to win this because they've actually sorted out their game plan and they know how to beat Inter. However, sometimes it's just about heart and character and spirit. And having gone down 3-2, when they looked down and out, they summoned that up. It wasn't tactical genius, shall we say, to tell Acerbi to get up there and get in the box, but they made it happen through sheer will and determination. And then the interesting thing will be what happened in extra time, because was it mental fatigue for Barcelona having been so close, because they never really hit those heights again?
Yeah, Inter seemed to have fresh energy somehow at the first half of that extra time, and there was so much happened, it's actually quite challenging to remember all of the many moments. But a very, very big one was at the end of normal time, with Barcelona 3-2 up, Lamine Yamal, special performance from him, hit the post with Yann Sommer beaten. Now, if that goes in, and Mark, completely agree about all of the heart and the spirit, I guess you need that slice of luck in those moments, if you like. It could easily have hit the inside of the post and gone in. It didn't, because had he scored then, Daniele,
it was tie over.
Barcelona would have been heading to Munich, not Inter.
And we would have said Barcelona were the better side. We would have said Barcelona deserved to go through.
And we would have been talking about one of the greatest second half performances ever in the history of this competition.
Inter qualification doesn't take anything away from the second half performance from Barcelona. The question is, how can this Barcelona side in the future evolve and avoid the blackout of the first half and in the extra time? For Inter approaching the final, obviously remains the great performance of courage and determination, but they will also look at themselves and think, we cannot allow this to happen anymore. So I think within the ecstasy, there will be scrutiny on both sides. Of course, the winners celebrate, and those who lose, they're left with nothing. But I think it would be too simplistic to explain it just this way.
I was just going to say, I've seen some reaction from Davide Fratesi, who turned out to be the tie winner overall. He said that he was actually fortunate to see the game out because he was celebrating so much. He was dizzy and nearly had a blackout, which is quite incredible. Well, he's thanked the physios because yesterday he had an abdominal strain, said that they were incredible to get him fit for the match. And he thought after the Bayern game that they couldn't repeat that emotion, but it was even more incredible. And that is the beauty of football. And on a more personal level, he said that it's been his career, really. He wasn't blessed with incredible talent, but he's the last to give up and the first to believe. So it's a reward for effort and dedication. And once they got to 3-3, he told Marcus Thuram, don't worry, we're going to go through. He said he was exhausted before he even came on from the bench, as they were standing up and screaming throughout the game so much, with their hands on their head at every move. So they practically played along with them from the word go. So some really good words from Fratesi.
You actually felt, I mean, there was so much energy from the stands and from the subs all night, from both sides, actually. And I think the defining images, which will go around the world, and do watch the highlights on UEFA.com and the Champions League app of this second leg. But the celebration from Acerbi to make it 3-3. And then, Mark, you mentioned that. Fratesi scores the goal. He runs off. He climbs up towards the Inter fans. And he's joined by Lautaro Martinez, who would come off and perhaps couldn't play the 90 minutes because of his injury. Benjamin Pavard, who's out injured, he appeared there as well. It was a remarkable collective moment for Inter to celebrate what turned out to be the winner.
And I think maybe that is why that they didn't go out in the end, because they have that bond, that team spirit, that never-say-die attitude, that they are all in it together.
This Inter team is the son of the team that lost the final to Manchester City. That day, the Inter team and Inzaghi understood that they were belonging to the elite, because they ran Manchester City very, very close to defeat. Probably should have equalized the game. And in fact, last season, they won the league by a country mile. They dominate the league. This season, they have been in three competitions right to the very end. They dream of a treble. They might not win the league, but they have been able to produce moments like this. Only if you have a strong group and an extra belief. And a word on Frattesi. He was a player that was talked to leave Inter in January because of lack of minutes and join Roma. He scored the two most important goals of Inter season so far.
And whatever happens in the final four, them reaching two Champions League finals in three seasons is a very special achievement. Can they go one better than Istanbul 2 years ago when, Daniele, as you said, they were mighty close to Manchester City? Well, they will hope for another performance like they got tonight from their goalkeeper, Jan Sommer. As we've said, he was the UEFA player of the match. And here he is speaking about that crucial late extra time save from Lamine Yamal.
I think we saw a lot of situations before the game that he's coming inside, he has the ball near his feet, and then he shoots quickly. And in the end, yeah, I was speculating a little bit, and yeah, looks good. And maybe it was the most important one, because of course we had some situations, we struggled. We had to defend well in the whole game. It was tough for us. And so I was really happy to save this ball, because it gave us a little bit power. It gave us the confidence back in this last minutes.
Great words too from Jan Sommer. What a performance from him. And he will be heading to the final with Inter in 3.5 weeks in Munich. A couple of stats to finish off this review of this semi-final second leg. Rafinha, unfortunately for him, despite an incredible season, knocked out, of course, but he's equaled Cristiano Ronaldo's competition record of 21 goal involvements in a single campaign, 13 goals and 8 assists, matching Ronaldo's record set in 2013-14. And for Denzel Dumfries, on the winning side, the first player to be involved in 4 semi-final goals in a single Champions League season since Karim Benzema in 2022. Astonishing stuff. Inter then the first team to make it to the 2025 showpiece in Germany, where they'll play one of Paris Saint-Germain or Arsenal, a match we'll look ahead to next.
You're listening to the official UEFA Champions League podcast.
So on Wednesday night, it has a lot to live up to. Matchday Live is back 15 minutes ahead of kickoff for our commentary game, the second semi-final between Paris Saint-Germain and Arsenal. The English side looking to overcome a one-goal deficit at the Parc des Princes. Their boss, Mikel Arteta, is confident despite the size of the challenge.
Huge enthusiasm, huge energy. We are a win away from being the Champions League semi-final. And the most beautiful cities in the world against a great opponent. It doesn't get much better than that. We are here to make history. We have a big opportunity tomorrow. We bring a result that gives us so much clarity about what we have to do. A lot of learnings from the first leg as well, and how small the margins are between the two teams. The result, in my opinion, should have been very different to that one. So tomorrow, another opportunity to prove that and earn the right to be in the final.
Well, good news for Arteta on the injury front. This on Jurrien Timber. I'll assess him whether he can start the game or not, but he has travelled. And Ricardo Calafiori is fit and ready to play when we need him. Those quotes from Arteta. Our UEFA reporter covering the match in Paris on Wednesday will be Alex Clemenson, who joined us a little earlier. And I started by asking him about the fitness of Ousmane Dembélé.
News came through on Monday that he'd taken part in the training session and is training again today. So, looks like he's back. Remains to be seen whether he'll start, but no, it's a good sign.
Alex, on the 1st of October, Arsenal beat Paris 2-0 in London. Two completely different teams. The Paris one from the one we saw last week, winning, of course, against Arsenal. What has impressed you the most from this change, from this transformation?
I think it's the players buying into the ideals of Luis Enrique. I mean, it wasn't necessarily a summer of upheaval last summer. But obviously, they lost Kylian Mbappe, a man that they'd sort of built the team around. The whole sort of a man who sort of dominated the whole narrative around PSG. So I think it's been incredible to see how the new signings, Yao Neves, Désiré Doué, how they've adapted to the side. how they've managed to show their strengths, how they've managed to just come in and fit sort of seamlessly in. Obviously, at the start of the season when, yeah, you mentioned that defeat against Arsenal, it wasn't their best performance of the season. Obviously, that was still very early on in the season and they hadn't had quite had that time to sort of digest the ideas that Luis Enrique and the structures that he wanted to implement. But yeah, in the intervening period, they've obviously gone on to dominate Ligue 1, to slowly progress through the Champions League stages. Obviously, the league phase, there was a sort of a hint of jeopardy there just ahead of the Man City game. But no, it's been, yeah, two completely different sides from the one that lost in London in October and the one that sort of that beat them, got that 1-0 win last week.
Alex, obviously, Arsenal comes into this game with a bit of confidence for the way they ended the game. And, you know, Gianluigi Donnarumma making two fantastic saves at the end of the match. The goalkeeper has been a central figure for this Champions League campaign, especially in those clashes against the Premier League sides. It's been a season of redemption for him as well in the French capital.
Yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned that he sort of reserved his best performances for English sides, because obviously we go back to the Euro 2020, Euro 2021 final, where he obviously starred in that penalty shootout against England in the final, one player of the tournament. But yeah, I would say it has been a sort of season of redemption. There's obviously been noise about his sort of future or sort of his real level as a goalkeeper. But yeah, I think he's one of those keepers that really does show up when on the big occasion, when the pressure is really on. I think Ashraf Hakimi alluded to that too in his pre-match press conference earlier, that there's a sense of security that the team feels in these big occasions when Gianluigi Donnarumma's in goal and has been in fine form in the Champions League. Obviously, I think he was slightly at fault for those two goals in the league phase loss against Arsenal, but it seems like he's really turned a corner this season.
Alex, we know about the atmosphere at the Parc des Princes on a big Champions League night. Going to put you on the spot. Score prediction. Who's making it through? Who's heading to Munich?
I do feel PSG have just enough to sort of seal qualification. I think, again, Hakimi alluded to it in his pre-match press conference. I think they've learned from that semi-final last year. That will stand them in good stead. I think they've shown, especially in the sort of latter stages of this competition in Europe, that they're a real team, they're a real collective, cohesive unit. And I think they just have enough, especially offensively, to sort of progress and get past Arsenal. I'll say 2-0.
Great stuff from Alex Clemenson there. And as we heard, Paris defender Ashraf Hakimi spoke to the media before the second leg. He believes his team's strong team spirit will be crucial if they are to progress to the final.
I think the project that the president, the director of the Deportivo, Luis Campos, and the coach, since he came here 2 years ago, he tried to make and build a team more than like star players. And I think that what he tried to make, and I think that is the key of this new Paris Saint-Germain, and the collective is more important than the individualities. And I feel like all together we are more strong. And I think in that kind of games on during the season we feel that like happened, like Usman, maybe his injury or not 100% to play, but I'm sure that some another teammate is gonna play and gonna give the 100% for the best of for the team, and that is the point strong of this team.
Ashraf Hakimi there ahead of this second leg. Mark, neither of these teams, of course, have won the UEFA Champions League or the competition. We know it's the holy grail for both. Set up beautifully, right? And Paris Saint-Germain with a slender lead, but as we heard, taking absolutely nothing for granted.
No, I mean, it's such slim margins, and you wonder about the return of Thomas Partey for Arsenal being absolutely key. I saw an interesting piece of analysis saying, would that goal that was scored in the first leg have happened if Partey had been marshalling that area just outside the penalty area? And that, when you get to the UEFA Champions League semi-finals, that's the level that you're operating at. Yeah. One moment like that, that a player might have snuffed out, can be the difference between you going through or going home.
Yeah, completely. And he will be back, as we heard there, whether Dembélé is on the pitch from the beginning. We won't completely know until Luis Enrique gives us the team news, and you will hear the whole match live from 8:45 CEST, 15 minutes before we get underway at the Parc des Princes. So we know that Inter are in the final. If they were to meet Arsenal, by the way, they met in the league phase. It finished 1-0 to Inter. 2003 in the group stage, their only other meeting. And Inter, if they were to meet Paris in the final, those two teams have never met, surprisingly, given how often they've been at the back end of European competitions. But we can't wait for that one. But before we go, let's return to matters at Stadio San Siro. The dust beginning to settle. We're about, what, 20 minutes, 25 minutes after full time. The stadium is empty, I'm sure, Inter fans now past midnight, heading out onto the streets of Milan, very, very happy. We can hear from their defender, Denzel Dumfries, who says he felt honoured to be part of a Champions League classic.
Yeah, I think overall 13 goals in two matches is spectacular for every fan, for Inter fans, for Barca fans, but also fans in particular who love football. This was a show, and yeah, I'm very happy that we are going to the final, but this was a big show.
Perfectly summed up from Denzel Dumfries. Entertainment at its finest. Let's hear from the Barca coach, Hansi Flick, who explained what happened to his team this evening.
What happened is, it's like a match, you know. It's also a really good team. They're a strong team. They defend well, but also they have really good striker. They keep the ball. The automatism of them, it's really good. But we make it in the second half. We make it really good. I think for me, it's we will learn. It's like that. I always say this is a progression. It's like that we are also want to learn, and we will do that. It's at the moment we have not so much time to train, but next season we will be back.
A tie that no one deserved to lose, in truth. Gents, two quick fire questions. First, moment of the night in this second leg. I'll start with you, Daniele.
It's the split second when Fratesi receives the ball from Taremi, doesn't shoot with his right, controls it and guides it into the bottom corner. That split second is the final for Inter.
I think because it was such an emotional night, I'm going to go with Fratesi's celebrations when he was joined by Martinez, yeah, and a cast of thousands from Inter as well, because that really summed up just how much it meant to everyone.
And who's going to join Inter in the final? Mark, you can start.
I think it's going to be tight, but it'll be Paris.
Paris for me as well, in a very tight game, probably like tonight.
Daniele, Mark, thank you very much. That's all we have time for this evening. Thanks to your company on what has been a sensational night of European football. Inter becoming our first 2025 UEFA Champions League finalists. Who will join them in Munich at the end of the month? It's only 3.5 weeks away. And we're back on Wednesday from 8:45 CEST. Full commentary of the second leg of Paris Saint-Germain against Arsenal in the Parc des Princes, which is sure to be rocking. The French champions holding that narrow first leg advantage. Can Arsenal mount a dramatic comeback? Don't forget to download the official UEFA Champions League podcast shortly after every match night. But for now, from me and the rest of the Match Day Live team, it is goodbye and congratulations to Inter, who are through to the final.
You've been listening to the official UEFA Champions League podcast.